talk to me, damn it, or else I'm gonna throw you in the fire!
You like scary movies?
Ghost story and horror film addict.
Ooh, scary movie.
Welcome to Spooky Night with your favorite uncle and host, Alexis Chainsaw Massacre.
Hey y'all, welcome to Boogie Nights. This is your favorite uncle and host, Alexis Chainsaw Massacre. Today is a day of significance because on this day 33 years ago at 4:13 a.m., not 4:20, my mom said, "You wish you were born at 4:20. I'm like, "Man, you couldn't have waited 7 minutes and birthed me as a stoner child." Nope. Anyway, 4:13, this day 33 years ago, I was born. Now, I did, when I was convinced that I was born at 4:20, I woke up around this time this morning, and I thought that it was of some spiritual significance, like I was going to wake up into my witch powers or something. That wasn't the case because I made up that birth time in my head. So nothing happened like that, but I am 33 years old today. I am excited about it because 3 is my favorite number, and 3 twice seems like it's pretty lucky, so we'll see. Now, who really cares about my birthday? It's really not a big deal. It was a reason to take off work today. And people keep asking me, "What do you do for your birthday?" I'm like, "Well, I have the day off of work. The rest will fall into place." People talk about, "Oh yeah, one of the benefits of having a full-time job is health insurance." Health insurance is cool and all, I guess, even though it kind of sucks and it's a fucking scam. To me, the number one benefit of having a job is paid time off. So you can get paid to do whatever the fuck you want. If I want to eat pizza rolls out of my own belly button today, I get paid to do it. And as of now, I'm in this like pure goblin mode. I am in my pajamas, no bra, don't plan on showering. Might go see Abigail later. Arlo bought me this stained glass kit, so I might make some glass today. I don't know. But the point is, it is my time to do whatever the fuck I choose. And today, I choose to talk to you all about 3 horror movies I've seen. Because I'm like, what can I relate to 33? 3 movies. Shit. So here we go. Because I couldn't think of anything better to do. No, I'm just playing. I always have tons of shit I could be doing. But one of my favorite things to do is come on here and talk to you all about horror movies. So that is exactly what I'm going to do. I don't believe I've ever talked about 3 movies on the pod before. So here we go. We're going to hammer them out. I know you all are busy spooky fans and have shit to do, so I don't want to take up too much of your time. So here we go. I'm going to talk about 3 movies today, 2 of which I didn't get to see in the theater in time. 1 is a Tubi original. So the first one I'm going to talk about is Late Night with the Devil. And I don't know if anybody else has had this thought, but I just think of Van Halen every time I hear the title, "Late Night with the Devil." But it is not really Van Halen vibes at all. That's something that keeps running through my head. Now, Late Night with the Devil has had a lot of hype around it on the internet, people I've talked to. I had heard pretty overwhelmingly good things. I'm pretty sure Rotten Tomatoes gave it like a 90-something percent for critics, which is pretty high because the critics normally don't love horror movies. So, you know, definitely made me excited, but also a little skeptical too because I'm like, "Oh, that's high. I don't know. We'll see." My one coworker that we watch movies every week didn't feel super high on it. I mean, he liked it, but I don't think he loved it. So I was like, "Well, I don't know. We'll see." Shudder had just added it, so I was like, "Hell yeah, let's go." I had tried to watch it a couple different times, but too late at night. I was too sleepy, and there's a blanket on me and a dog, and it was just out of my hands. I couldn't stay awake. Finally, I did hammer it out, did watch the whole thing in its entirety in the convenience of my living room. So I had to look it up, because this guy, I can never remember his name or pronounce it. Last podcast on the left had an interview with him. I already forgot his name. Demastikin or something? Fuck. I don't remember his name, so I'm already off to a good start. And I listened to the podcast for a second to get it right. But yeah, last podcast on the left just had him on in the last couple months. He is the star of the movie. You've seen him in other shit. Dark Knight, he has a brief part in. He's helping Heath Ledger as the Joker with this whole shooting of Lieutenant Gordon and, you know, all that shit. He's in a ton of other stuff. I just can't think of it off the top of my head right now. He's, like, stereotypically a creepy-looking dude. And in that interview, he touches on that. He's like, I feel like I'm kind of typecast, and I have a face made for horror. And he's like, I love the genre, but when they wanted me to play a TV show host, I was like, are you sure? Definitely an interesting interview. I would check it out. Last podcast on the left. But, yeah, so we'll call him David D. David D plays, his name is Jack Delroy. He's a late night talk show host of this TV show called Night Owls. And the whole premise is that he is constantly competing with Johnny Carson for ratings. He's always fallen short. His wife, who was also a celebrity, dies of cancer. And that episode had the most views historically when he got her on the show and was interviewing her like a couple weeks before her death. Still fell short of Johnny by a little bit. So after she dies, he goes through his period of grief, kind of does him for a little bit. They allude to the fact that he's part of this celebrity group that meets in the woods and does, like, demonic shit to get their ways. I don't know, some kind of rituals and shit. So they're like, maybe he's doing that. Maybe he has his head under a pillow. Maybe he's in a cave. We don't fucking know. He's just doing him. Well, he comes back after a month or two of grieving and decides that he needs to get back into Night Owls again and really putting his all into it. So one of his ways to make a comeback, he decides to make a Halloween special. So he has a variety of guests on there. He has a supposed gifted medium. He has one dude that is a magician and a gifted magician, really good with, you know, the powers of illusion. However, he is such a skeptic, and he's on there to try to prove everything wrong. There's a parapsychologist on the show with this girl that allegedly has a demon in her. So there's all these things happening on this late-night talk show, and it's on Halloween night, and let's just say shit goes down. So that's the premise of the movie without giving too much away. Now, the one thing, I hadn't really seen a ton of trailers for this, which is great. I don't know, for some reason I was under the impression that it was more of a found footage type of movie, and it really wasn't, which is fine, because that's not always my favorite type of horror movie anyway. They're pretty hit or miss, and I'm not always in the mood for them. It was kind of, you know, I don't know, recorded. And it had, you know, behind the scenes footage, it had the show footage, and that's how it was portrayed, was, oh, it was this footage that nobody's ever seen this night in 1976 or whatever. So, you know, Jack is trying to, you know, get his show the ratings that it deserves, but also he's wondering throughout this, he's like, am I a believer? Is this shit really happening? I am questioning my own sense of reality right now. So, very interesting premise. Like, honestly, the concept itself really carried me throughout the movie. Aesthetically, it was great. It definitely gave you the 70s feel, that vibe. It almost kind of reminded me of if, like, Ty West directed it, which I know he didn't, but David D, I feel like he did really well as Jack Delroy. He definitely had that talk show host swagger. Even the way I noticed the way he was, like, holding his hands and just his overall demeanor and carrying himself. He did really well. And I don't think, you know, this is definitely not his stereotypical role, but I think he nailed it. And he was definitely convincing as a talk show host. Some of the effects were cool. It didn't do too much, although I did see somebody, their complaint about this movie, this dude on TikTok, was that he said towards the end they were kind of over explaining what was going on, and I agree with that, like, because I couldn't really put my finger on it, because overall I loved the movie, but I felt like towards the end it wasn't grabbing me as much. So I really think I can agree with that statement. It's like, okay, yeah, I don't need information spoon-fed to me necessarily. I am a moron, but not as much of a moron as one might think. So that would be my one thing. And, you know, I think that the little bit of trailer that I did see kind of did give away what was going to go on a little bit. But overall, I wouldn't say it, like, spoiled it. But, it would have been good if the trailer kind of, you know, left a little bit more to the imagination. Overall, though, I did really like it. One of my coworkers gave me this movie to borrow, I don't know, a couple years ago. It was a Halloween special, and I might be butchering the title, but I think it was called WUNF or FUN, We Funk, I don't know, Halloween special. And it was kind of like a mockumentary Halloween special, public broadcasting, basic cable kind of Halloween show. It was funny. It was a great time. And I never hear anybody talk about it. I was going to buy it, but it was like kind of hard to find and pretty expensive. So I would like to own that at some point. But Late Night with the Devil definitely gave me those vibes. It definitely, I don't know, the whole premise to me is just so interesting. And it was a different point of view. It definitely took some elements of horror movies that I generally don't really care for, but put a new spin on them and made them a little more interesting. And I like the theme of, you know, the believers versus not. One of the reasons I love the X-Files so much, the fucking Scully Mulder dynamic of the skeptic and the I want to believe, and getting her to believe more as time goes on. I love that because I truly believe in not much. I don't have a whole lot of solid beliefs, but the one thing that I do believe is that there's a lot of things that we don't understand and never will. And to say so confidently, this isn't happening, this can't be happening, fuck, you better believe it's happening. So I really like that whole dynamic, that whole theme. So definitely, you know, it. And talking about the whole, you know, psychic phenomenon with this guy that comes on, it starts off, you know, kind of John Edwards-y, which where you're like, he's just kind of using vague details to draw people in. But then as the show goes on, you're like, oh, no, this is legit. And the magician, you just want to punch him in the face. He's such a douche. Like, it's one thing to be skeptic and doubtful, but this guy, just, he knows it all. And I fucking hate know-it-alls, man. So he was definitely irksome. And definitely every fucking 2 seconds being like, well, you know why? This isn't real, blah, blah, blah. Jack shuts him the fuck up a few times. It's like, no, you can have your time to talk on camera here soon. So there is a brief spot in the ending that I thought was a little cheesy, but overall, I would say that this movie was pretty fucking legit. 90-something might be a little high. I don't know. I would give it like a solid 75, 80 maybe if I was a critic, just because there were a couple things, you know, between A Place in the Ending and the over-explaining a little bit that I could have done without. But otherwise, like, pretty cool movie, original. Because, you know, I don't know, a lot of people bitch about Hollywood needs new ideas. They're doing all these remakes and shit. Well, here you go. Here's a new idea right here. At least one that I haven't entirely seen. Or a new spin on shit, at least. So, Late Night with the Devil was definitely legit. I'm sad that I didn't get to see it in the theater, but I'm super glad that Shudder put it on right away. David D., you go, dude. I wish I remembered how to say his last name. Excuse me, guys, I need a quick water break. I don't realize how much spit is in my mouth until I start talking constantly. So, Late Night with the Devil, good shit. Definitely was entertained and had a good time overall. We'll probably buy it and add it to my collection at some point. Alright, so number 2. This is a Tubi original that just came out. It's called Lowlifes. Now, I will say, I have fallen victim to the streaming services. I do pay for Netflix, although I have thought about getting rid of Netflix so many different times. Every time they raise the price, I'm like, I'm done. I'm tired of being a slave to the streaming services. And then all they have to do is add a new fucking true crime documentary or stand-up special, and I'm sucked right back in. I am very much one of Netflix's bitches. I've had it the longest out of all of them, too. I'm a very loyal customer. Back in the day when they were mailing DVDs and shit. So I have Netflix. I have Hulu. I used to have the live version of Hulu, but got rid of it because it was getting astronomical. Just couldn't justify it anymore. But I do have that. I have Prime because it comes with my subscription. I do use it periodically. Shudder. Hello, of course I pay for Shudder. And I guess I technically do pay for Disney, but I have it for my grandma because she loves her Star Wars shows. Don't tell her I said that because she would be pissed if she found out I was just getting it for her. That used to be bundled in my Hulu. Whatever. I also have Discovery Plus, even though I could technically stop paying for it because HBO has all that shit on there that I like, the Food Network, TLC. But I just like the way the content is organized a little better on Discovery Plus. So those are the ones that I pay for. HBO or Max or whatever the fuck you want to call it. My dad gave me that password a long time ago. Paramount I have for free through my phone because I have Straight Talk. So there's this shit where it's like, okay, you get free Walmart Plus and free Paramount Plus, which that's cool. That definitely is not a service worth paying for. I can tell you that. And Peacock, I also have somebody's login. So I have those. And then I use the free streaming services, Freevee, Tubi, Pluto. I'm like, fuck yeah, are you serious? So the reason I'm saying all this is because I pay for plenty of streaming services and more than I'd ever want to. And it's kind of embarrassing. But, you know, watching movies is a big part of my entertainment. So I guess that's here to stay. And also, you know, along with that, they take movies on and off of streaming services all the time. That's why I have a physical collection and always will. But I'd be lying if I said, you know, that, oh yeah, I want to watch Gremlins. Here it is on HBO. I don't really feel like going to find the DVD. So yeah, I am lazy sometimes. I'm not going to pretend like I'm not. But I have all these streaming services, quite a few to choose from with, you know, a wide variety of content. But Tubi, the free one, is consistently on top as one of my favorites. The app generally works well. It doesn't freeze. It's not glitchy. They have a million bazillion movies. Like, if there's a horror movie that you're looking for that you can't find anywhere else, chances are it is on Tubi. They have a huge collection, and they're constantly cycling stuff in and out. So, big, big fan of Tubi. It's definitely one of my most used ones, even though I don't pay for it. The horror selection is just fan-fucking-tastic. So, when I found out that they had a Tubi original, I was like, oh, shit. And that was another one that my coworker and I were hearing good things about. So, we watched it for our weekly book club, and, you know, it is called Low Lifes. The one thing I'll say about Tubi too, yeah, there are commercials, but they're pretty brief. And the one thing that drives me up a fucking wall about commercials is when not only are they, you know, every 5 minutes, but they repeat themselves constantly. So it's not like that. Tubi, in the grand scheme of things, is not that bad with their ads. So we watch Low Lifes for book club, hearing good things about it on TikTok. Now, Low Lifes, it's about a family, and I don't remember their names, but it's a mom and dad and, like, teenage girl and boy. They're going on a little family road trip in their little motorhome. There's these two dudes that seem kind of sketchy, and they're really trying to get a ride with them, get in their car, and the family is just like, what? Wow. So, honestly, that's probably the shortest synopsis I can give without giving too much away. Because, you know, with a title like Low Lifes, you're trying to figure out who the low lifes are right off the bat. And all I'm going to say is that it's not what you think. And this movie, it was, I don't know, it was just so refreshing. It was a great mix of slasher, a little suspense, some dark comedy. It made me laugh so hard in a couple spots. It was just so well done. And you know what? The one thing I'll say too, when we were watching this, our internet had been out for a few days. So I hate watching shit on my phone normally. I don't like to watch it on my phone unless it's like a short YouTube video or something, or TikTok. I don't like to read on my phone. It's just, it's not for me. If I need to do any kind of important legal documents or something, doing taxes, I'm not doing it on my phone. I can't. But with Low Life, I had no choice because I had to use my data. I watched it on my phone. And that's why I bring that up, because I still enjoyed this movie and was all the way fucking in. And I had, you know, the nice thing about it being my phone, it was portable and I could take it throughout the house. I could take it while I was taking a shit. I could take it while I was making my lunch. I could take it while I was smoking a cigarette. It was just, because a lot of times we're watching these movies and I'm creeping into my own house from the porch, smoking a cigarette, looking through the window to make sure that the commercials are still going so I don't miss anything. So it was nice to have Low Life with me on the go wherever I was. And I was just enjoying myself and just really, really love the movie. Go Tubi. Like, there was a few twists and turns that I was not expecting. It was just, like, so pleasantly surprised. It's like, as soon as you feel like you know what's going on, the rug gets pulled out from under you. But then once you get your balance again, you're like, wow, this is fucking cool. And it wasn't anything outlandish. It wasn't anything super over the top. It was these simple twists. And I was just like, yes, this is what I'm fucking talking about. This movie has been so entertaining. So my coworkers were like, you definitely have to watch this on your actual TV. And I will. I definitely will. But I'm here for it. Go Tubi. If you're going to make bangers like that, keep fucking going, dudes. I saw that there's a couple more on there that I got to see too. And I'm definitely pro Tubi. I know I had heard recently that they were going to start editing their stuff. That was a rumor. You know, I've thrown stuff on that I've seen before and it didn't seem edited at all to me. One of them being House of a Thousand Corpses. Definitely lots of room for editing material there. They certainly did not hold back on anything. So I don't know if that's something that maybe they're going to do eventually, but at this point, Tubi is keeping things exactly how it goes. So, Low Life, I definitely recommend. It was a good length. I think it was like 90 minutes or so. I love the family. It was gory at spots. The kills were great. It was funny. It was exciting. You know, I don't know. I was just pleasantly surprised, even though I had heard good things. I take every opinion with a grain of salt. I loved Low Life. It's definitely a good time, and I'm going to watch it again at some point. Go watch Low Life. Bam. Okay. Now, I know that really didn't tell a lot, but I could potentially spoil. There was a beginning twist, and I don't want to spoil that because I feel like that would be the equivalent of me being like a movie trailer and showing you that shit. And honestly, that movie trailer probably fucking did, but I didn't watch it. So, all right. Now, the third one, I'm sorry. I'm really stuffy, too. I was working in the yard a lot yesterday, and there's pollen galore, so I've been a little wheezy these last 24 hours. Had to take some Benadryl, which isn't my favorite thing to do, but I was, like, all wheeze and itchy nose and shit. So if I sound a little stuffy, I apologize. All right. Number three. This is one that I think Arlo and I had talked about on the New Year's Eve, you know, horror and review, what we have to look forward to, but we did not get a chance to see it in the theaters, was Lisa Frankenstein. I saw they had it on Peacock, and I was like, fuck yeah, I'm so excited. So I watched it a couple days ago, because I was like, it's my time off, it's my time. And I think the Cavs were about to come on, but I still had some time to kill, so I was like, all right. By the way, I have spent a lot of my birthday weekend watching the Cavs lose. I need a little palate cleanser, so I think that Abigail's in order tonight. I need something to make me a little less depressed from those losses. Ah, fuck. Either way, I am going to Boston in a couple months, and I want to roll in there with the Cavs jersey, but I hope that it's because we win. I think that might be a pipe dream. But anyway, so Lisa Frankenstein I watched, and right off the bat with the opening credits, I was like, I'm gonna fucking love this movie. It's animated, it's got like a little peppy kind of funky vibe to it, little gothy. I was like, oh, okay. All right, I'm already sold. So from the opening credits, that movie had my undivided attention. Now, I don't really know any of the actors in this movie that well. Cole Sprouse, which I was like, where is he from? And my sister's like, Sweet Life of Zack and Cody? Oh, yeah. And my dad's like, remember he was in Friends? I was like, oh yeah, he's just all grown up now. So him, Carla Gugino, my fucking girl crush, she's in it for a hot second. But not a lot of big names and stuff, which I'm totally fine with. It's funny talking to my dad about movies, because he's like, oh, is anybody I know in it? Who cares? Like, I love some of the independent stuff and people I don't know, because you don't expect anything out of these people versus, you know, when Anthony Hopkins comes on screen and you expect the world because he's fucking awesome, and if he doesn't deliver to that. So I don't mind not really knowing people all like that. But Lisa Frankenstein, it's about, you know, you might have guessed it, main character's name is Lisa. She's in high school. Her mom had gotten murdered, which they don't really go into a whole lot of detail about, like, why or what happened. It doesn't really matter all that much. It's just that, you know, Lisa's grieving. She misses her mom. Well, she felt that, you know, everybody moved on from her mom's death a lot faster than she did. Her dad being, you know, one of them, he gets with Carla Gugino. They get married. They live in their house. She all of a sudden has this new mother and a stepsister that I think her name's Taffy. So Taffy is honestly, she's such a good encouraging stepsister to her, because Lisa is, you know, kind of the weird girl at school. She doesn't say a whole lot, kind of keeps to herself. She's kind of strange. She works at like a seamstress shop and works all the hours that she can so she doesn't have to be at home. That's Lisa. She writes poetry. Whereas Taffy, her stepsister, is on the cheerleading team. She's real peppy. She's real popular. The boys love her. Everybody loves her. Even Lisa's dad, who is Taffy's stepdad, seems to care a whole lot more about what Taffy's doing and her accomplishments than his own daughter. So Lisa, and she, you know, so you feel for her. Like, and I feel like, you know, I can say this for myself. I know probably not everybody, but yeah, I feel like I can definitely relate to feeling like the awkward girl at school and being weird. And I don't know. So right away, I'm like, oh yeah, I'm on Lisa's side. So she's talking about how she goes and visits this little cemetery in the woods, and there's this old stone, and she's like, nobody visits it. It needs love. So she put her mom's rosary over the stone. Well, somehow there's some kind of reaction that happens, and the man that's buried there comes to life. So hence the Lisa Frankenstein part. So she's trying to figure out this whole situation. Like, hey, dude, where'd you come from? What can I do to get you kind of functioning? She's a little sketched out at first, but then she gets him up and running. And basically, you know, he starts killing people because he gets attached to her. And he sees that she is wronged by certain individuals. So he kills them. And then she takes the body parts that he needs, sews them onto him. And then, for some reason, puts him in a tanning bed to make this reaction happen. I didn't really understand the tanning bed all that much, but I'm like, that's goofy. I don't know. It works. There's electricity and shit involved. So then he keeps, and this is Cole Sprouse, by the way, this Frankenstein character. And somebody told me, they're like, oh, I don't really like him that much. I'm like, well, in this movie, he really just doesn't do anything beyond grunting. So maybe that'll make it a little easier. But so he starts becoming more of this zombie human hybrid thing. He starts becoming a little more real. Kind of reminds me a little bit of like, I think his name's Kyle in American Horror Story Coven, when he starts coming back from the dead and starts getting a little more, you know, animated and a little more like a human as time goes on. So Lisa's helping him do that. And I don't know. That's as much as I could say without really giving too much away. And her stepmother, Carla Gugino, is really trying to peg her as crazy and disrespectful. She keeps claiming that she's breaking her shit. And it's just, it really makes you feel for Lisa, because you're like, she's having a hard time. She misses her mom. And her dad is, like, just completely taking his new wife's side and his stepdaughter's side, not really caring about her at all. So even though Lisa's developing this unconventional relationship with a zombie man, it's really pretty cute and endearing. So, honestly, I had heard somebody on TikTok say that this movie will become a cult classic one day. I agree with that 1,000%. It might just be even a regular classic. Mind you, I haven't heard a lot of people talk about this movie, hardly anybody, but that was one little snippet that I heard. I agree completely. I think it had a little bit of everything. It did kind of low-key remind me of Edward Scissorhands in a way, just with like the budding relationship between a human and a not really human. Even the visuals, like, it was really a colorful movie, and it took place in the 80s, too, so they really took aspects of the 80s culture and really kind of cranked them up a little bit with the hair and the music, lots of vibrant colors. Even the house that they lived in kind of gave me slight, like, Avon Calling vibes. So, of course, I love Edward Scissorhands. I think that this movie is less bleak than Edward Scissorhands. Edward Scissorhands will make me cry if I'm in a certain mood. If you know, you know. If you haven't seen it, then what the fuck have you been up to? So it definitely had that vibe. It was cute. I'm not really a love story type of person, but I think it had just the right splash of that. It had, you know, the great, you know, I love teen horror movies, even though high school fucking sucked, but, you know, everybody can relate to being a teenager and how shitty it is, so I think that's why I like movies with that. I always love an underdog. I will always, you know, be there and all here for the weird girl. So I loved all those. It was super visually appealing. The story was cool. I mean, it definitely wasn't the most original story in the world, of course, but they put their own spin on it. So definitely here for all that. I love the elements of horror. It had some funny dialogue in it. I loved it, you guys. Like, I really didn't know a ton about this movie. I just knew that I wanted to see it. But my heart felt so full after watching it. I was like, holy shit. How can a horror movie be so feel-good at the same time? So when people get on me about, like, oh, you shouldn't watch horror movies before bed, it probably contributes to your nightmares. Not this one, okay? They're not all fucking Debbie Downer fucking bloodfest, man. This one was great. Like, and I think it's good for all ages, too. I mean, there's a little bit of, like, sexual references in it. Otherwise, I'd say, like, younger kids could even watch it. Because that's the other thing, you guys. It was fucking PG-13, which I shit on a lot of the time. I always give them a chance, but I generally, if I see a movie's PG-13, I'm automatically taking my excitement down a few pegs, and I don't expect as much out of it. This was PG-13, and it was fucking awesome. So I feel like that says a whole lot. So I honestly, I don't know, now. So we got this, we got Low Lice, we got Late Night with the Devil, we got The First Omen. There's a lot of bangers this year. Of course, Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey 2. But I keep thinking, as I see more and more of these movies, what's my favorite of the year? But honestly, all these ones that I've talked to you guys about, starting with The First Omen and going on through these, they're all apples and oranges. They're all totally different movies and subgenres and do their own thing. So, my God, this is going to be so fucking hard to make a decision as the year goes on as to what movie is my favorite. Honestly, I don't know what I'm going to say at this point, because I would say out of the three that I talked about today, Lisa Frankenstein is probably my favorite out of the three. But it's just, I don't know. It's got to be so hard to be a critic and to do any kind of rankings movies, do any kind of award system, because, I mean, part of it is I'm just terrible at making a decision, but it's really hard to compare things when they're all doing totally different shit have, I don't know, but they're all uniquely themselves, and I really appreciate that. So, sorry, I kind of geeked out a little bit there, but I'm just fucking excited, because this year did not start off super strong on this horror shit. And actually, after I finished Lisa Frankenstein, Peacock was like, well, you probably want to watch Night Swim. I'm like, that's, you know, a pretty big assumption, because no the fuck I don't. I had a good time, but I don't need to watch that for, you know, maybe ever again, let alone a second time within like 4 months. So, we started off pretty rocky. There's that Tarot movie out now, which pretty sure it's PG-13. It looks cheesy as fuck, but I'm gonna fuck with it at some point, I'm sure. If I don't get to the theater to see that, it's probably not a big deal. I saw The Strangers does come out this weekend too, which I feel like I need to have Arlo watch that. And I haven't seen it in a long time. So there's those for sure. There's some Dakota Fanning horror movie coming out too that I keep seeing trailers for that's coming out, I think, in June. Also PG-13, but looks like it might have potential. I could see it going either way. I forget what the other one's called too. I think it's like an independent movie, but it comes out at the end of the month. It definitely gives me Jason vibes, but I think the whole shtick of that movie is that it's through the lens of the serial killer. So let's fucking go. Like, let's make this the summer of horror. Why not? It doesn't have to be a fucking hot girl summer. Nobody gives a shit about being hot anymore or ever. You know, like, who gives a shit? Let's get spooky. Let's have a great time. Let's get the fires going. Let's turn the lights off. Let's watch spooky movies. Let's start making Halloween decorations now. Let's have a great time. So get excited like I am, or don't. I don't care, but having something to be excited about is pretty fucking rad. So those are the three movies. I definitely recommend all of them. So just to run down real quick, Late Night with the Devil, Shudder, which honestly, if this is a free fucking ad, if Shudder ever chooses to sponsor me, I'd be honored. But Shudder is 1,000% worth paying for. I think I do the annual subscription, so I pay like $60 for the year. So that works out to be like $5 a month. And I've heard people talk shit about it, like, oh, it doesn't have enough mainstream horror on there. No, it doesn't. It has a huge variety. It does have some mainstream, but then like a lot of Shudder originals, a lot of independent movies, a lot of foreign movies. There is so much fucking content on there. Podcast, Eli Roth's History of Horror, which is fascinating. You know, just so much good shit. Documentaries. It is totally, totally worth the subscription. It is not that expensive. If you even like horror a little bit, I would say get it. If you watch a movie a month, that's probably worth it. So, Late Night with the Devil on Shudder. Low Life's on Tubi, which free, so you don't need a subscription. I don't even think you have to make an account. The only benefit of making an account with Tubi is it saves your progress and shit, which I need as somebody that falls asleep during most of the movies I watch. And then Lisa Frankenstein, Peacock. So, you know, if you're like me, I've done this with Showtime a few times until they've cut me off and they're like, you've made too many fucking free trials. We know your fake names. You could put on your googly eyes disguise as much as you want, but we know it's you. Anyway, so Peacock, what I'm trying to say is if you need to make a free trial, just do that. Honestly, I don't even think Peacock's that expensive, but maybe you're like me and you're like, I cannot justify paying for one more streaming service. So just watch it that way. I don't know. Do what you fucking want to do. You live your life, not me. But watch these movies if you can, you guys. I'm serious. Like, it'll be a good fucking time. Oh shit, there's a cat that came out of the closet that I didn't know was there. Actually, the podcast have been relatively well behaved today. I'm pretty surprised. So that's all I got for you guys today. Thank you for celebrating my birthday with me by listening to me ramble and gush over these fucking movies. I feel like I don't fangirl super often, but today I certainly am. And you know what? Fuck it. I can. So I'm really hoping for a good year of 33. I'm really trying to keep working on this podcast. I'm working on finishing my book, Last Meal. I mean, it's finished, but I wrote it in 30 days, so I'm editing it. It's taken forever, but I want to do it right. So I'm really trying to, you know, hopefully have that done by the end of the year. I definitely want to get some art going. I think that I'm just going to continue to shoot for what I want to do and hope that something sticks and just have a good fucking time doing it. That is one of my best qualities, is that I will have fun no matter what and I will enjoy. And that's what I intend doing. Maybe I'm having a stroke for my 33rd birthday, Jesus. But I'm going to intend to do that today. I'm going to have a beautiful day. Thank you all for listening. Please subscribe. Please slide in my DMs. Tell me what you want. Tell me it sucks. I don't fucking care. Love you all. Stay safe. Stay spooky. Peace.